Well, this message is one that's been on the shelf for a while. And it seems like the Spirit kind of does that to me. He'll lay something on my heart, but he says, not yet. Put it on the shelf and we'll come back to it. And I see why on this one, because if you were here last time I spoke, it was on wisdom. And as we gain wisdom, we get understanding, discernment, and sound judgment. So that leads us to this morning's message. And I was supposed to have a gavel, or a wooden mallet anyways, and it's somewhere between the old shop and the new shop, possibly in a box somewhere. So, pretend I have a gavel in my hand, and I say, do not judge. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And Satan would love for us to just leave it at that. And he's done a good job of it, because when we hear that, the shield goes up instantly. And a lot of times we just think, nope, no judging, none at all. No judging will take place here. And so what we end up doing, and this is what Satan wants, is we end up never looking at the scripture to find out that Jesus says that there are things that we are supposed to judge and things that we're not supposed to judge. And if we don't look at the scriptures to find that out and seek out those things, we end up judging the things that we're not supposed to judge and never judging the things that we're supposed to. So with that, we will divided this into two messages. You'll thank me for that when we're not sitting here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So those verses, or the parts of them, they're verses that many people can quote. At least they quote that portion and leave it entirely out of context. When we read these verses in their immediate context, it becomes obvious that Jesus is not warning against every kind of judgment, but against hypocritical, self-righteous judging. There is no place for spiritual hypocrisy or pride. And we can and must take a stand against sin, but even then our dealings with others should be marked by grace, mercy, and humility. Judging takes a negative connotation. Now the Greek word for judge is krino. Sounds like a strong drink or something. Gonna have some krino. Krino is the Greek word for judge. It can mean to avenge, damn, or condemn. But it can also mean to question, review, esteem, or decide. So there's kind of a good and a bad, if you will, to that word. And within that word, which could make it a little confusing when you read scripture. Which one is it referring to? So it takes some searching out in context. We often have a negative taste when we hear the word judge because we have been unrightly judged or at least witnessed it. The Greek doesn't differentiate, but Scripture does, and Jesus does. I think maybe I understand why that is. Is it possible because we can look at the same situation and we have the opportunity to judge unrighteously or righteously? We should remember that judging begins in the heart and we have an opportunity to do something good with it. Today's main passage that we'll look at a number of them, but we'll go through Matthew 7. verses 1 through 7, I think it is. So that's Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, if we stopped right there and didn't go forward and search through this, we would just think that Jesus said, no judging, so don't judge. But this is speaking of unrighteous judgment and condemnation. It's very important to understand that difference, that judging is not always condemnation. It has a positive side to it. And can merely mean a decision made. Not only are we not supposed to judge hypocritically or self-righteously, but we are not supposed to judge the intentions or motives of others. More on that in a minute. In verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Remember, there is two facets to judging. One is positive and one negative. Righteous judgment and unrighteous judgment. This verse follows the principle of reaping what you sow. And looking down the page in this chapter in verse 12, you will see Jesus say, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Now, that verse has a much broader application than judgment, that it is applicable to this verse. And if I just repeat that verse again, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And if you apply the idea that there is a positive aspect and a negative aspect, that verse applies to both. If you hand out good judgment, sound judgment, that's what's going to come back. If you hand out critical, harsh judgment, that is what will come back as well. Now verses 3 through 5, kind of the core of that passage. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Note, it doesn't say not to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It says to self-examine and make sure we're not trying to restore him or her from a sin that we are doing as well. In fact, upon self-examination, maybe we're not the person who should address our brother. We should also remember, have you ever thought to yourself that you are glad you don't do what so-and-so does? And it's not long after that the Holy Spirit shows you that you do the same thing, just in a different manner. I know I'm not the only one that happens to. So our prayer should be, Father, help them and myself not to do that thing. In verses 3 through 5, that's Jesus' reference to the self-righteous hypocrite. We can and have all been guilty of this at one point or another. It happens very quickly and without realizing it at times. There is a process of self-examination that should take place before any outward judgment is made. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, this verse has a direct context to the Lord's Supper, but it has a broad application throughout our walk. and ultimately would eliminate the judging referenced in verses 1 through 5 altogether if we could just judge ourselves. Now in verse 6, he says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." And for those who will not receive God's truth in wisdom, a judgment must be made, and that is to know who is a dog or a swine, and blaspheming what is right and true to the point of bringing you harm. Jesus tells us not to continue our time here, but rather to move on to those who will receive him. Righteous judgment is an impartial, loving, and merciful evaluation based on truth and wisdom. It involves self-examination, humility, and a motivation to correct and restore rather than condemn. It includes prayer and the Holy Spirit's help, applying God's word, discerning good from evil, showing compassion, and acting with the intention of giving glory to God and bringing about spiritual growth. We do well to remember that the only righteousness that we have is the righteousness that Christ himself has given to us. Now, an interesting way to look at judging, and that's as far as sin goes. God has already judged what is right and wrong, according to Scripture. The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, that is our basis by what we know to be right and wrong. Yet it does not give us license to be the sin police. More on that in the next message. This is where the wisdom of Christ, the grace and mercy of Christ, allow us the discernment to know if we need to approach another believer. We must restore, not condemn. We see this in Galatians 6:1. That's Galatians 6:1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." We must remember that we're just as capable of doing the very thing that we're restoring a brother or sister from. That is part of the humility required. Now, as to condemnation, we find that in Romans 8:1. And we see there that it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Jesus took that condemnation for us. So no one ever has a place to condemn another person. That is Christ's, and he took it upon himself for us. In today's message, we will look at the areas we should not judge according to Scripture. Next time, we will look at the areas where Scripture tells us to exercise righteous judgment. So if we look at Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, I was supposed to preface that with the statement, "We should not judge motives or intentions, only God can read them." It's not always easy to do. But if we look at Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, we see that it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Only God can know our true thoughts, our motives, our intentions. In fact, we may not even know them sometimes. Psalm 139, 1 through 2, also says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and rising up. You understand my thought afar off. He understands our thoughts when we don't even understand them. So we can see where we don't have a place to judge motives or intentions. We should not judge by appearance. And there's two types of appearance. This can be appearance of an action or literal appearance. If we go to John 7:24, we will look at the appearance of an action. And of course, this is Jesus right here saying, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. This was in reference to the Pharisees. So the Pharisees came against Jesus, and they came against him because he was Jesus, but specifically in this instance, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That was bad to them. They were going to judge this, but also, at the same time, they were circumcising on the Sabbath. So that was okay. That was okay for them to do that, but not for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. But in all actuality, neither were in violation of the law to not work on the Sabbath. But it was, in fact, the Pharisees who were breaking the law by their hatred for Jesus. And then we can look at not judging literal appearance. And that's found in James 2:1. James 2:1. And that says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand here or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And then we should not judge those who have conscientious convictions about matters that are not in themselves right or wrong, and they as well should not judge others according to their convictions. So these are things that don't fall within the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount, where God says, do not. Those things we know, that's do not. That means if we go against God, that's sin. But in this case, these are things that people have as conscientious convictions. Now I'll explain a little bit more on that here in a minute. And for that reference, we'll look at Romans 14:1-3. Excuse me. Allergies this time of year, of all times to have allergies. So Romans 14:1-3 reads, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Now this goes back to the famous meat debate. To eat or not to eat. Now we know God gave all things to eat, so it is okay to feel either way. Now there's a lot of times where people have a conscientious conviction that they feel the Lord has led them to, or that honors the Lord. And that's okay. Scripture says so right there. But what is not okay is to hold that against someone else who does not follow that same conviction that you have. Pretty simple. So this is where grace is well applied. How about the glass of wine with a meal? Paul actually took the Nazarite vow, which includes not drinking wine. Actually includes not even eating grapes. But yet, he told Timothy to have a glass of wine to settle his tummy before nighty-night time. So he had a conscientious conviction, but yet he didn't judge Timothy. In fact, he encouraged him to have. And we know that can come full circle. It can come back to drunkenness, where we're told, do not be drunk. So in that case, it becomes sin. And as we'll see next time, can fall under judgment, or could fall where it would need to be dealt with. And that's all according to Scripture. None of this is my opinion. We don't want my opinion when I get up here. We want to hear what Jesus says. So, as long as it is not defined as sin in Scripture and does not cause a brother to stumble, that's another parameter there that we can look at other Scriptures to find, then we have no place judging it. Even if we just don't like it at all, that's where grace comes in. So, if you struggle with that, I would urge you to read all of Romans 14. It gives full clarity to this situation. It's actually a really clear and concise passage, I felt, overall that deals with that. Unfortunately, we could have taken each one of these passages of Scripture and done a message on them in its entirety, because there's so much there. But that would make a year of Sundays of judgment messages, which might get a little bit old after a while. So really, if you consider these or meditate on these and just kind of see, you know, or even look up other scriptures that complement it, it's an opportunity just to grow your education on judging. In this case, we're not to judge. And then the next one is that we should not judge the service of another Christian. And that is 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7. And that says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Now, this goes back to the old Paul and Apollos debate when the new churches were starting, Corinth, Ephesians, Galatia, all of those, to where everyone had their favorites. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. And they went actually as far to judge Paul in that he's weak in his speech. There were many accusations brought against him, but he was not doing anything wrong. He was presenting the gospel, serving Christ, and people just didn't like the way he did it. So that would be an example of judging service. And in Paul says that, you know, I don't even judge myself. And he states that he's done nothing wrong, which he hasn't, as I mentioned. And he mentions that he judges not even himself, and that we're to judge nothing before the time. In fact, Jesus is the judge. We know that he is the one to judge our service. Jesus is the one who even makes our service possible, and it is to him be the glory. He hands out the rewards, and he will one day, for all the things that we've done in his name. This isn't to say that we can't appreciate one's service or even praise them for it. This speaks to the comparison and criticism of service. As long as people are following Scripture and not harming others or their service, we need to allow them the freedom to serve in the way that they feel the Holy Spirit has led them. And grace would be well applied here as well. In other words, if we're doing our service in a Christ-like manner, then we should not be judged for it, even if someone else doesn't necessarily like it. You can see where opinion enters into this equation a lot. There's something to take note of. And then there's even unseen service. Someone might say, well, so-and-so doesn't do anything. But we don't follow those people around 24 hours a day. We don't see what they do. They could be downtown at this new ministry, hanging out down there, all of their spare time working on that. And they just don't mention it because they don't want to, they don't want to seem like they're bragging, perhaps. That enters into other scriptures as well. The next one is, we should not judge a fellow believer by speaking evil about them. Pretty straightforward on that one, maybe. James 4, 11 through 12. That's James 4, 11 through 12. And that says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So this would be judging someone outside of the confines of Galatians 6:1, where it says to restore a brother. This would be just speaking evil of a brother. This enters into the area of false or unjust accusation. It also speaks to judging motives and intentions. It goes outside the bounds of the fact that God has already judged sin and declared what is right and wrong. If we judge by opinion, then we are pushing Jesus aside and take the gavel from him. In fact, if we trespass into any of these areas that we are told by Scripture not to judge, then we are pushing Jesus aside, as it is his right only to judge these areas. It's kind of a good way to look at it. As we look back on that which not to judge and forward to that which we are to judge, we should value the importance of wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of God's truth, and through it comes understanding, discernment, and sound judgment. In Proverbs 14, we see wisdom speaking, and we know wisdom is Christ from a study, the message on wisdom that we did last time. And, oh, I'm sorry, that's Proverbs 8, not 14. Oops. Proverbs 8 is wisdom speaking. And Proverbs 8, 14 through 16, to give reference to wisdom and how it plays into sound judgment, these are a few really good verses, Proverbs 8, 14 through 16, and that says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom." The NIV actually says sound judgment, and we'll see why in these next verses. So counsel is, I'm going to read it as the NIV. "Counsel is mine and sound judgment. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth." So we can see there by that the kings reign, rulers decree justice, princes rule, and nobles, and when they do so rightly, they do so by sound judgment. And that is had by gaining wisdom. And we can see the importance of sound judgment in these verses. And next time we will look at the areas where Scripture tells us to judge and to do so righteously according to Christ. So hopefully through this week and next week, instead of when you think of judging, you see that gavel and say, you hear, "Do not judge." Perhaps in the future you can look at it like this, as someone holding this and saying, "Judge righteously according to Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for giving us clarity through your Scripture, a subject that we tend to shy away from, is one that we should actually embrace and understand. And we know that understanding comes from you, it comes from your word. And we pray to seek out wisdom, to get understanding, discernment, and through that to be able to have sound judgment, righteous judgment in you, to know when to judge and when not to judge, and to give glory to your name in all of it. We know that comes only through you. And we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit, and through prayer and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we know we can do these things. We can do all things through you and do them rightly, and that it can become a positive thing in our minds. So, Father, again, we pray that you would help us to understand it, to change our perception of it, and to do all those things through Christ. And we pray this in his powerful and awesome name. Amen.